Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the UGASports.com All Things Georgia Call-In Show, presented by UGASports.com. I'm your host, Paul Meharry. Joined with me, as always, Andy Stowe and Eddie from Ackworth. And then we've got the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Shanks on. We're going to be talking to you about a lot of Braves tonight, so we thought we'd bring in the best Braves guy around. Before we get going, though, guys, as we always do, we want to know where you're watching us from. Put it into the chat. We'll make sure you get up onto the screen. And then if you have any questions at any time throughout the show, make sure to put those on, and we'll get those moving over. You're probably going to ask Bill a ton of questions, not myself or Andy. Maybe Eddie some questions, but
we'll get off on the screen. Very popular. He is being heard on the radio, and they're like, oh, my God, I recognize your voice.
Yeah. Did you know that what type of monster you've created, Bill?
Well, you know, the bad thing is now people are starting to recognize him.
Right. And,
you know, that.
Yeah, that's such a horrible thing, by the way. It's just horrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the sound of your voice, you know, I mean, it's worse to be able to see you, for crying out loud, but then to be able to hear you and say, oh, God, aren't you Eddie from Ackworth on the Bill Shanks Show?
Right.
Like, right. I swear to God, if you get business cards, you're toast. I'm done. that's it. You know, I'm not going to deal with that.
Look, the guy, he gets recognized. So shout out to Eddie. Foster Moss is in the building with us. What's up, Foster? Good to see you, brother. Garrett Key, you know we're touching on those Georgia Bulldog basketball team here in just a minute for you, Garrett. Kathy Compton, watch from Greensboro, Georgia. Appreciate it, Kathy. And Garrett, since Garrett said hello, Garrett, do you know Garrett, Bill?
I do not. I don't think.
Okay, you need to link up with Garrett on Twitter. Very, very big pro dog in all sports. Okay. And we had this debate, and I was on Garrett's side. Eddie was not, that the NIT wasn't meaningless. Eddie thought that it was meaningless. And
it is meaningless.
I've got to interrupt.
To this day, but go ahead.
I've got to interrupt. So Paul and I get a text from Eddie about two days ago. Mm. Let's see. What did that text say, Eddie?
Make sure you keep a PG here.
I can't find it, but it said, Florida is at home, and Auburn is at home, and Georgia is still playing postseason basketball.
It was so interesting because.
Yes.
That's a fact. Has nothing to do with whether the NIT is meaningless or not. That's a fact.
Yeah, I know, but you know, just a little flex going on those guys.
So what we've done here, Bill, is it's really become a divided show here the past, week and a half or so since Georgia was announced in the NIT. And I said, look, I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great that they're in the NIT. What is your take on this, Bill? Are you siding with me or are you siding with Eddie?
Sounds like I'm listening to the Rachel Maddow show here with you three. Well,
I have no idea who that is. Who is that?
Oh, yeah, you watch her every night. I mean, come on. You know, here's the thing. I understand where Eddie's coming from, but look, the NIT is if it allows them to get more victories, I'm all for it. And if it's a step forward to go in a positive direction for this program, I'm all for it. Sure. Oh, okay, that means you're the 69th best team in the country if you win it. All right, I get it. I understand that. They need to win something. You know, I had my producer on my show looked it up. Let me see if I can find this real quick. It was the overall record for Georgia basketball since they had fired the great Hugh Durham in 1995. And
it's not going to be good.
Let me find this. This was awful. Since 94-95, Georgia is 478 wins, 442 losses. Obviously, there's 479 now. So that's what, 37 wins above 500 in 28 years. They have been to seven NCAA tournaments in 28 years. I'll take anything. And one of them was wiped away, right? Because of Herrick,
right.
I believe.
That's right.
I mean, I'll take any bit of positivity for Georgia basketball that I can get. And if it's winning the NIT, so be it.
Yeah, James Caraway's in. James, I don't have the link in the bio, so if you're planning on getting in your bathtub again, let me know. Maybe DM Andy and on Twitter, he can send it to you. Give me a
message. You were worried about what I'm saying on this show compared to what you just said right there. I'm a little concerned.
No, what did you not see last week, Bill, when James was in his bathtub? All right.
If I'm not on this, I don't watch it.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate your support.
Yeah, thanks so much for this unwavering support.
Well, now, I will say, if I don't call into Bill's show, I don't listen either. So it's the same thing.
There you go.
Garrett says, Eddie and I are going to book our tickets for Columbus, Ohio tonight. There you go. John Matthews watching from Oglethorpe County. We appreciate that.
Hey, he's new.
Randy Payne, big fan of the show. Go Dogs from Tifton, Georgia. We appreciate
Randy, you can listen to the Bill Shank Show on 93.1 out of Rochelle. Hello.
I bet he does. Let us know, Randy. I bet you do. Tonio watching from Brunswick, Georgia. We appreciate you. James says, I think Eddie's argument gets confused. He is not saying he doesn't want UGA to win or isn't happy if they win, just that win or lose, it does not matter. I could be off, but that is my thought. Is that where you're at, Eddie?
Yes. And you know what? That statement right there makes me want to get in the bathtub with James because he's 100% with me right there. Exactly right. Fully clothed, of course, but there you go. We're simpatico. I love it, James. No, it's meaningless. The NIT is stupid. It's dumb. Whatever. I understand what Bill's saying, but I did watch the second half tonight, guys. I watched the second half.
You got
second
back in. You got he, missed.
Yeah, he did.
There was missed. It was in between NCAA games, so I turned it on, okay? And Purdue was killing somebody. So can I talk, or do you want to go ahead, Bill? Do you want to go?
You're lying. You watched the whole thing.
No, I didn't. I watched the second half.
In between watching Purdue beat somebody's ass, I will turn on dogs.
Here's my thought. Here's my thought, okay?
It's going to be fun.
I did like the fact that these kids and this coach wanted to keep playing, and they played hard, and it looked like they cared, okay? They went out there. That's a tough road win against Wake Forest. Wake Forest is a good basketball team. On the road, everything against you, favored, to lose by 9.5 points, and we won big time. So I give them some credit for that, okay? Now, I'm going to keep saying it. Unless they win the tournament, this is meaningless because you're going to look back next year and be like, who was even in the NIT? Who won the NIT? Nobody cares. It's meaningless.
But I think
to mean something, you need to win the tournament.
Okay, but when Mercer beat – they beat Duke, obviously, a couple years ago. But they also won the CTI, CIT, something like that, CLIT. I can't remember.
The year prior they did?
One of them, and it was – Eddie didn't get that. And one of them. And it was a big deal to take a winning streak into the next year. You know, it was like, okay, that's a positive step for the program.
After they won that, did they beat Duke the next year? Was that what you're saying?
That was my question. That was what I asked.
Yeah, I agree. I think – good one, Bill. I think that whichever way you look at this. I think it's good for the program to keep playing basketball in middle to late March. And yeah, that's obviously it's not the NCAA tournament, but it shows that this team was competitive. We saw this team have spurts, and then we see what happened to all the, which I thought was kind of crazy. All the SEC schools, except sans Tennessee, are gone. I mean, I thought the conference was pretty good this year. They got smacked in the tournament. So, you know, I was thinking, hey, Georgia goes to the NIT, they play well. The teams that go to the SEC play well. This is just a tough conference. Maybe, you know, things happen. But to see Georgia continue to move on is good. So Chet Summers watching us on the old X from Sonoya, Georgia. I can't pronounce the name, but we'll just say K. Stuttgart, Germany is where they're watching from. Wow. Love my dog in most sports. That?
Awesome.
That's like 6 hours ahead, I think, or seven, something like that. That's crazy. In the middle of the night. That's awesome.
KAA is watching us. Alabama's still in it too. Excuse me, Tennessee and Alabama. But disappointed with the DUI and the flips, but it's the business now. We'll touch on that a little bit because that was the news today. If you didn't see it, Roddy Nabolsi did a great reaction earlier in the day. I was in church, and then things started just popping off. Justice Terry flipped to USC. Isaiah Gibson committed to USC. And in between both of those, you had I got a text from a special source that sent me a picture of Trevor Etienne's mugshot, and I said, "Where did you get this from?" Because I hadn't seen it. Normally in our group me, if something like that happens, it's blowing up. And he sent me the link, sent it to the group. We got on it. So driving under the influence, less safe, is what they got him for. So. Like I said, if you miss what Roddy did this morning, he did a great breakdown of what the less safe means. Now, it could mean a number of things, but his breathalyzer was under the legal limit. Okay. So it was not a full-on DUI. It was a misdemeanor. With that being said, a DUI at University of Georgia is 10% gone of the season, guaranteed. That's a Kirby rule. Yeah. It's been in effect, you know, for quite a while now. So, you know, it's curious to see what your thoughts are on this bill when you saw it come across the Twitter. I guess you saw it probably.
Well, I'm disappointed. Obviously, we had felt so good about what Kirby Smart had said earlier this week about Trevor Etienne. Mm-hmm. I think our hopes are so high for Trevor, and I don't know how many times in the history of college football a team has been able to quote unquote acquire a guy from their own conference or own division, even of the caliber of Trevor Etienne. Mm-hmm. I mean, to acquire a skill player like that and add him to your running back room is unbelievable. So you don't want for anything like that to happen. And, you know, I know people are going to say, well, kids are going to do things. And maybe he just hasn't been here to hear the screaming and the hollering from Coach Smart about why we can't have this happen at Georgia because of what happened last year. But I'm disappointed. There's no question. I want everything to be smooth for this program and for this team. And I don't want any DUI. I don't want any, they can, all they got to do, I don't care if they're hugging a curb, call somebody.
Yeah.
You know, all that's the disappointing thing. And I know probably parents say this all the time when they find out their kids get a DUI or whatever, but it's like they've got a support system at UGA, as long as it's not a recruiting analyst, that they can call anybody to go get them if they're drunk off their feet. Yep. And yeah. I know he wasn't, but the point is, you know, you hate to see it. And I don't want anything to get in the way of this kid being able to perform for Georgia, because I think he could be a big part of this season.
Now I'm going to play. Can I play semantics here for a second? You said it might not be charged as a DUI. Is that what you said, Paul?
So it's being charged as a DUI. It's not a full-on felony DUI. So it's a DUI less safe. So it's a little bit different meaning there.
What I'm asking is that's a 10%. You're done. Could Kirby say, well, this is a little different. It's not 10%. That's
right.
All I'm asking.
That's where it all – you're getting into semantics quite heavily.
Right. And one more thing. I'll say this real quick. I'm not trying to defend this by any means. Don't anybody take this. But we have all done that kind of thing. And you reach a line where you think, okay, I'm okay right now. I can drive, right? And 0.08 is right at that level. Right. So he was probably with it, coherent enough. He thought he could get home. I'm not defending it. Right. But you're not at the point where you're slobber knocker drunk and you got to call your coach and get me out of here. He wasn't at that point at 0.08. Okay. So he's thinking he can do this kind of thing. Once again, I'm not defending it. It's wrong.
No. Yeah. I get where you're coming from.
And drove, but it was I think it's a borderline thing with these kids. Okay. That's all I'm saying about it.
Foster says Trevor will just get work like hell this summer and just miss the Clemson game, hopefully. And I think Bill makes a really good point, Andy, in that with the tragedy that happened at Georgia, ETN was not here, but it was national news. I mean, he obviously knows about it. It's a little bit different now, I feel like, at Georgia with that happening.
And that's fair.
The spotlight's shining a lot brighter on Georgia than it is. Like if that wouldn't have happened last year, then people would have said, oh, this sucks, but it's not terrible. And now it's like, wait a minute, this keeps happening. And I've been seeing on the message boards, the Gator fans saying, yeah, that's right. He comes up there and he never got in trouble 2 years here. Now he's getting a DUI because he's at Georgia. And you know, the same old Kirby's telling them it's okay to do this. And I'm like, give me a break, guys. But I think it's because the spotlight is shining.
That's partly my point. I guarantee in Gainesville, he did the same damn thing and got home fine. And we never heard a thing about it. I guarantee it.
You know, it's one of those things that you kind of have to look at, and there's still needs to be more information come out as to if it was alcohol, was it drugs, was it something, you know, it maybe not even be alcohol. That's what that less safe kind of entails. Moving forward though.
Wait, before you go to that, Paul. So at the maximum, he's out two games, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's just if he's convicted, isn't it?
It's kind of what Bill's saying. I think there's still a long way to go here. We're not there yet.
By Kirby's rule, not the
Kirby rule is for DUI, right? And DUI is felony. So this is DUI less safe. It's a different type of charge. So we'll see we'll see what happens with this. It's a misdemeanor in terms of.
Okay. So we, like you said, we still need more info. So
it would be Clemson and Tennessee Tech is who he would. I mean, you know, that sucks because Clemson, that's going to be a tough game. And so I would love to have him in back there. But so it looks like it could be the Tennessee Tech game doesn't matter. But.
Right, it's gonna be interesting to watch and watch that play out. Billy Wright, good evening, guys. As always, love the show. Go Dogs and God bless. Well, we love you too, Billy. We appreciate your comments, man. We've touched on the Dogs, the big team, the basketball team. I know. Again, Eddie, answer me this, Eddie, real quick. We'll move on. Are you gonna watch them play Ohio State?
Yeah, I'll watch.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, look at that, Bill. We just. Threw it out there. We let it sit there long enough.
I just said yes. What else do you want me to? You want me to cut flips? You want me to do a back flip right now? Is that what you want me to do?
No,
you want me to jump in jacks?
You wouldn't be able to go to leg day Tuesday. My God.
By the way you frame that, it sounds like, oh, I'm rooting against Georgia. God, I'm not rooting against Georgia. I just don't care about this damn tournament. But I'll watch. Hey, that was so cool when Noah Thomason backed up and hit that three and got fouled. For a 4-point play, and he went on the floor and went 1, 2, 3, 4. He saved our ass. That's a great kid. I was so happy for him. Okay. So,
look at Eddie watching. Look at Eddie watching, processing, and replaying now for the show.
And that would not have happened if we didn't take the NIT bid.
Yeah. Wouldn't have seen
it. Did I ever say they shouldn't have taken the bid? Did that ever come out of my mouth?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
Beyond Creative says, good evening, guys, in chat. What's up, Beyond? Good to see you, brother. Let's move forward, okay?
Thank you.
Real quick, Bill, I haven't got your thoughts, and I apologize. If you were on the radio up here, which we need to make happen, it's just too much. I get too many phone calls, and it throws your radio off my phone. It does.
He's
all
such this. A busy man. He's just, you know, so busy.
Look, but I haven't heard your thoughts on Kirk Cousins. Me, personally, loved it. Absolutely loved it. Was the best move we've made in years. This team's going to the playoffs. Yes, sir. Please tell me you're on my side there.
No, I am. I am on your side. I had been so indifferent about it, Paul, because I just didn't know. I didn't have a strong feeling. I just wanted them to do something and to feel good about it. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe Justin Fields can be better here in Atlanta. Maybe. And of course, the question about Kirk with his age and his leg is there, but I do feel good about this. And I am anxious to see what they can do moving forward in the draft and can't wait. I mean, it's 5 weeks away now and I'm really excited about it. So yeah, I think we all should feel better about this team right now. They've got good skill players. They added some receivers. So I do, I feel really good about it. And I think it's the best thing they could have done. Is it a lot of money? Did it handcuff them financially? Yeah, it did. And that's a problem because they can't go get some of those other positions filled that they really need, like cornerback and safety and edge rusher, but they've got to have a really good draft. And, and, you know, I think people were talking about how Houston, with the exception of CJ Stroud, got a lot of people in their draft last year that were really impactful on defense. And sometimes teams have to do that because of the salary cap. You know, if you're going to spend a big portion of your salary cap on a big shot quarterback, you're going to have to hit some home runs on some draft picks. We're not used to that with the Falcons, so we need that to happen this year. And hopefully, if Rich McKay is out of the way and Terry Fontenot's running the show, there'll be some good selections for us.
So who are you wanting in that 8th pick, Bill? Do you want to stay there or do you want to move back? Do you want to move up?
I think I'm interested in moving back. I think I'm curious about that. Maybe Minnesota's pick for 11 and 23 for number 8. I've seen some people say Denver may want to come back and do that at 12. Move back to 12 since Denver may need a quarterback even worse than Atlanta. I mean, if they stay, I think the options are there. I mean, I'm starting to buy the Joe Alt talk about, well, if he's on the board, you can't pass on an offensive lineman again. He's the best offensive lineman. If he's Penny Sewell for this year, you got to take him. Yeah. Because Jake's older and you got a issue on the other side with it when it comes to pass protection. So I think you have to consider that. And I think you have to consider if one of those wide receivers falls to 8, Harrison won't. But if Malik Nabers is on the board at 8, you got to think about it because you've got, you've brought some receivers in, but you need people around your investment, you know, and so if he were on the board at 8 or even the kid Roma Dunsey from Washington, you'd have to think about it. So, I mean, I think there's all sorts of options that, that could be available for them at number eight. And if they look, if they fall in love with one of those quarterbacks, if JJ McCarthy's there and they fall in love with him, okay. You know, I'm going to trust him and hope that they'll make the right choice about that. I prefer to get one in the second round or third round. Mm-hmm. I think you have to, we're going to trust him a little bit. And again, I'm also trusting that, that Rich McKay's out of the way. And I hope that's the case.
The Dogfather's here. Time to make this party going.
JT.
Yeah, good to see you, JT. JT says, I'm checking out unknown linebackers from Montana. So
it'll be on the roster in about 5 weeks. So you'll
see. Hey, look, I'm just hoping maybe this year's different, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there isn't an unknown linebacker from Montana that ends up with the Falcons. Maybe they take somebody from like Alabama.
How about that? What is the odds of taking a linebacker from an SEC school?
Yeah. I forewarn you. How many years in a row have we said that? This is the year they surprise us, okay? And they don't. So
maybe it works. James Caraway says trading backs lets us get the edge and O line in the first. Would love Mims in the
20. Oh yeah. Yes.
Be nice. See if you can get Jared Verse or Dallas Turner at 11, and then get Mims at 23 if you trade back with the Vikings. That's not a bad haul for that 8 pick.
Hey, if they pull that off, that would be the best draft the Falcons have had since Matt Ryan.
Let's see here. Andy Adams says, when's the last time a Falcons GM properly valued the line of scrimmage? Was last Bill? Time?
Well, the Jake Matthews pick was obviously a no-brainer because he was going to be on the board when they took him at 6, I believe, and it made complete sense to take him. You got to go back when they brought in Sam Baker with Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm.
They had to have
an offensive lineman with mm-hmm. him, even though he had short arms. He was okay for a little while. But, I mean, you know, Dimitrov failed on the offensive line. And I think for the most part, so did Arthur Smith. He failed on Jalen Mayfield. He took a right tackle and put him at guard, which didn't make any damn sense. He failed on Matt Hennessy.
Bergeron, you know, too. The jury's out on Bergeron.
We hope Bergeron, we hope Bergeron is better, right? I mean, he started all 17 games last year, so you hope that's better. They still want to try to tell you Drew Dahlman's the real deal.
They do.
Cedric Van Pran's there in the
now
at 43. I'd take him in a heartbeat. My God, but the offensive line's just been their bugaboo. It's like the Braves bullpen historically has been a problem with the Bob Wickmans of the world. The Falcons offensive line has just been stupid. It's just been stupid how they have passed over options for that offensive line in favor of another receiver or another cornerback
or running back at 8 instead of Jalen Carter.
Right end at 4.
I will say this. Hopefully Arthur Blank has learned his lesson, because if we go back when he made the move for Michael Vick, which at the time we all loved, still love, even though we couldn't predict what happened, they never surrounded that guy with the pieces up front to make him a successful quarterback. Arthur Blank has now invested, $180 million in this guy? I would think maybe he's learned his lesson. And I'm telling you, Arthur Blank calls all this stuff. Be boring. Go after Joe Alt. Yeah. Protect your investment.
But see, if you keep on saying that, and I'm not saying you're wrong, that he's calling all this stuff, then we're never going to get past this bull crap. If he's making the calls on these first
rounds, he is.
If he is, then it's never going to change. We've seen
that's why I'm saying he hopefully has learned his lesson.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Because if not, we're going to be drafting some skilled player again. Draft a running back or a wide receiver that's not needed.
I don't know how we're going to know, quote unquote, whether Arthur Blank and Rich McKay are out of the way or not. Maybe it's just going to be a good draft that works out and everything, but I pray to God. That's why I'm trying to be hopeful that Fontenot, and I don't know how good Fontenot is, because I don't know what he's done that may have been. Yeah, I mean, is he the moron that took Justin Schaefer over Jamari Salyer? I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, was it him or was it Arthur Smith, Mr. Offensive Lineman? What has Fontenot done? We don't know. There's no accountability there, which, I mean, I think that's why they do it on purpose. But anyway, it's they need a good draft. Let's just say it like that. They need a good draft.
Agreed.
Been trying to shout you out, CJ. CJ Tibbs says, heck yeah, best draft with that Jared Verse, Arthur. He's over on Facebook. Appreciate you watching. Scott Anderson says, how about the big win at Wake Forest? Scott, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. Make sure to rewind it. And it definitely was. It was a huge win for the Dogs. 9.5-point dog. You come out and win. That's pretty big. Even though they were missing one of their biggest weapons, obviously. But still, it doesn't matter. You gotta win that. Let's see here. Garrett Key. This is interesting. USA Today ranked the Falcons at number 11 Ooh. In the NFL power rankings post-free agency. What do y'all think of that?
Who's in front of them, though, is the question.
Well, it shows you how much the quarterback helps and how much that if they had a quarterback last year, they wouldn't have been 7-10 and that he, you know, may make a difference to where even looking at their schedule, they may be 10-7 a 10-win team right now. Yeah. They still have some holes defensively. So I think that's where that's coming from. It's gambling on Kirk Cousins being ready to go and being a quarterback who can throw for 4,000 yards. If he does that, they're going to be good.
That's really close. I mean, super close to being top third in the league. That seems a little high, but also like I'm very high on Kirk Cousins. Like you said, Bill, I think if he was there last year, Eddie, 10, 11 wins with Kirk Cousins being healthy.
That would have won 11.
Yeah.
And
just before Kirk Cousins went out, we talked about this last week. He was a top three quarterback in the NFL last year before he got hurt. Top three. He was slinging it. Absolutely.
I've made the point that I was like, okay, somebody was like, well, the Falcons only lost three games by 3 points or less. And I was like, well, that means they probably had, I think they had three that they won by 3 or less. And I was talking to my brother-in-law about this and about Kirk Cousins. He said, well, the thing is, those three games they won by three, they would have probably won those by 10. And the ones they lost by three, they would have probably won by 7. I was like, that's a great point. I didn't think about it that way. So, hey, here's your 3 or 4 more wins. And Kirk Cousins would have probably done that.
Somebody says Eddie is spot on. Blank is making the picks. Oh God, Andy, you're new around here. We don't agree with Eddie. Please.
No, Andy's been on our show.
I know, but I'm saying don't. I'm trying to say. Beyond Creator says no receiver unless it rhymes with frock or mad. So I guess that's Brock or Lad. I had to kind of read that twice though. Kind of a tongue twister.
Brock ain't happening. Lad's a possibility. Brock ain't happening. I mean, that's crazy.
Okay, then it brings up to the next point. Scott Anderson says, what if Bowers is available for the Falcons?
No.
If they had traded Pitts, then yes. Right. But I don't think there's any question they can't do that.
But Bill, you said if Roma Doomsday's there at 8, you have to take a look at him. You don't look at Brock in the same way and maybe move Kyle out?
I don't think I'd be really surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be against it, but I would be really surprised if they did that because I think they've got to feel like, look, we got to turn this fourth overall pick into something special here.
Yeah.
Or this is going to be a really bad wasted pick. And we could say, well, we didn't have him with a good quarterback his first 3 years, so let's put him with a good quarterback now and see what he can do. All right. And I just think you got to give Pitts time and let him, if he's healthy, let him show out. So,
see, I think with what they've done with wide receiver, I think, Bill, you're wrong on this. I think unless it's Marvin Harrison there at 8, and that's not going to happen, the wide receiver position is ignored because of what they've done since they've gotten Darnell Mooney, et cetera. They've gotten some – they got pieces, okay? Drake London is a good receiver. Kyle Pitts is a very good tight end. How do we know a draft pick's going to be great, Bill? We don't know Malik Nabers going to be great.
I think Malik Nabers has a chance to be better in his NFL career than Drake London.
Let me stop you right there. Do you think he's better than what you might get in Dallas Turner or Jared Verse?
Yeah, because I'd rather have a veteran NFL defensive end.
You have money for that though, Bill.
I know that's the problem. And I really am concerned about that situation with them. I think the biggest and they haven't really restructured any contracts yet. I tell you, the Hassan Reddick thing in Philadelphia is something I'm waiting for.
Do everything you can to get him.
God, clear some room and go get Hassan Reddick, and then you don't have to worry about
What are they asking for him? Has it come out?
I don't know, but I can't imagine that third rounder from Jackson.
That compensation pick?
Yeah, I would think that might get it done, and I think that would be a really good move. But you know what? The other thing they got to worry about is they may lose a draft pick because of their bullcrap shenanigans that they tampered with Cousins, and that would be a catastrophe if that
wouldn't happened. That'd be classic Atlanta Falcons right
Absolutely. There. Absolutely. And where's the accountability for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, Bill, I've known some PR folks. I'm sure you know a lot more. What was said to Kirk when he came off that stoop there after talking to the media? Like, are you serious right now, brother? Like, some of the stuff you just said is, I mean, out there, you know? And when you first listened to it, like the first time, I don't know if I actually caught it or not.
I did. I actually caught it. I was like, yeah, I'm not a PR guy. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This doesn't sound right. Go ahead, Paul. But it just didn't sound right.
I didn't catch it at first. And then I forgot. I think Eddie might have texted Andy and I and was like, yo, look at this. And then I listened to it over again when it just got chopped up in those small segments. I was like, yeah, that's pretty bad. I don't know when we'll find out about that, though, the league doing anything about that. I would assume sooner than later, but with the NFL, you never know. It could be the day before, you know, the Thursday of round one. David Burns watching from Cedar Hill, Texas. We appreciate you, my friend.
Paul, before we move on, I did look up. They're saying that a third round pick and maybe a late round pick for him would probably get the make the trade. So
they got a second, seventh round pick, so that would probably do it. So that,
yeah,
you know,
that yeah, I do that.
Oh yeah. God. Tom Reddick is a badass.
And then defensive end. You could get another edge guy at 8 or 11.
That's what I would want. A perfect world, get Hassan Reddick, and then you get Dallas Turner and get both of those guys.
Oh, gosh.
Tell Dallas, hey, Hassan's been doing it. Just watch
my Sunday naps go out the window if that happens.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is a problem. I look forward to those during Falcons games. Bill, I know you do as well. Second and third quarter, we're out of it. First and fourth, we're back in, you know, so –
I think you got to hope that they is the best player available. If it's Turner, I'm fine. If I don't know. It's almost like, what do you want them to not pass on? I don't want them to pass on Joe Alt. Mm-hmm. You know, or how are we going to feel if they do pass on either a Dunsey or Neighbors?
I'm okay with that.
One of those, I think Josh Kendall mentioned trade back to 12 and get another cornerback. Well, I didn't really know. I don't know about
that. The Quinion Mitchell kid from Toledo,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, Toledo. Yeah, that was exactly the one, Paul. And I don't know about that. I mean, they need another cornerback, though. So, again, you got to trust them. If that's what they're wanting to do, then you've got to trust them to a certain extent. So, I don't know. I get too wrapped up in this draft, and I sat there last year. Even though I had read from everybody they were going to take Bijan Robinson, and I'm like, come on, Jalen Carter. And then I like saw the tweet, and I'm like, here we go. They just
did it to me. There's not one guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, any of you guys, that they're sitting at 8 and he's there like a Jalen Carter was previous, where I'm pounding my chest saying, you got to take this. Marvin Harrison, but he's not falling to 8.
Right. No, that's the thing. Nobody that's going to be there possible at 8 will.
Right.
Jalen Carter.
And you know what? Part of my hesitancy about edge rushers is the Vic Beasley disease. And that's fair.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, you took Vic Beasley at 8 and he gave you one good year, but then he disappeared. And it's like, well, you know, so that's why I wish I had a veteran instead of an edge rusher. And I don't disagree. Well, if he's there at 8 and you want to take him, and that's the one, take him too. You know, build on some strengths of this team, you know, because you've got to find another cornerback to go on the other side of Terrell. You got to find another safety to go on the other side of Bates. You got to have something. You need to bring Calais Campbell back. You really do.
Yeah.
You know, and so you got to have money to do that, though. If they could trade for Reddick, I think that would be a big move. It really, really would.
Yeah.
Here you go, Eddie. Dash just tweeted, Dogs will play Ohio State at 7 p.m. Tuesday on ESPN, baby. Not ESPN2, not SEC Network Plus, not ESPN Plus.
I don't have to find it. I could just
you don't have to go
my
find
TV.
It.
Yeah.
Just hit great. That button, Eddie. It'll be there on ESPN. That.
I told you I'm watching it. I told you I am.
I'm just saying, there's going to be a lot of people watching.
You know why? There's nothing else to watch on Tuesday night.
Jeez, there he goes again.
Is there anything to watch on Thursday this week? Do we have anything on Thursday we can watch at like 3 o'clock?
Yeah, and are y'all going to mention that Georgia swept Alabama's ass in Foley Field?
Yeah, I was getting there. I'm transitioning like a good host, Bill, like a good host would. Yeah,
thank God you're the host, Bill.
Paul likes to slow roll it. He's a good host.
Okay, yeah. Good. Slow roll it. I had a – you can see now you got me all confiddled, you know, because I had
not even a word.
Go to the Braves. Go to the Braves. Go to the Braves. Go to the Braves.
No, Big Hoss, Thursday at 3. Well, I mean,
Big Hoss said, Paul, how about them Diamond Dogs? Condon and the resurgence of Corey Collins put Bama in the dustpan for a nice sweep. Big Hoss, appreciate you watching as always, my friend. Yeah, they're mashing the baseball right now. Looking good. If you go look at RPI, what does RPI stand for? Please, somebody tell me.
I'm surprised Andy didn't just roll that off his tongue.
I don't know. Andy brought it up before the show. He's like, the Dogs are 10th in RPI. And I'm like, what the hell's RPI? I don't know what that is.
He didn't even know what it meant. That's
rating performance indicator. What is it? I don't know.
I got it. Republicans protect immigrants.
I don't think that's it. I don't think that's
not it.
But yeah, RPI, I don't know. But the Dogs are now 10th. Which means that they could potentially host. It's a long season, guys. They lost to Kentucky last weekend. Beat a good Alabama team this
week. Ratings percentage index. That's what
it is. Oh, close. Ratings percentage index.
Like ninth or something like that?
They were ranked.
Real RPI, Roddy's Performance Index. I'm last on that list at UJSports.com. Last on that list.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, you said we got a Gator fan in here? Gators KB12.
Oh my God!
That's my buddy Kevin.
So you know him, Andy?
Yeah. You can say all bad things about him.
What's his name?
Kevin.
Kevin, what day does Florida play basketball this week?
Ah, see, there you go, Bill. You're getting it. NIT doesn't matter.
Hey, can I speak on that real quick? Because I wanted to share this with you guys before we started the show. I enjoyed some serious Schadenfreude, and that's how you say it.
Schadenfreude
on Friday, watching Florida lose, Auburn lose, South Carolina lose, Kentucky lose, Tennessee. By the way, did y'all watch that Tennessee game yesterday?
No. Yeah, I did. I wanted Oakland to win. That kid
hit no, me. No. That Tennessee didn't play Oakland.
Oh, no, my bad. Whatever. Who cares? Same thing. They play Texas. Whatever. Okay. Texas. Keep going.
Yeah, that was the worst basketball game I think I've ever watched. It was just like, who is worse today? Texas was awful. If they could do anything, they would have beaten Tennessee. But, I mean, I got such joy out of watching Florida, Auburn, especially Auburn, go down. And Tennessee's going to go down. They're going to lose to the Blue Jays this weekend. Mark it. They're going to lose to the Blue Jays. Bama's still alive, whatever. And we swept their ass this weekend. It was a great weekend. Great weekend.
And somehow he didn't watch the Dogs out of all the things.
I did watch the Dogs.
RPI equals, okay, thank you, James. RPI equals teams winning, that's 25% of it. Opponents winning percentage, 50% of it. Winning percentage of your opponent's 25%. See, this is too much.
That's ridiculous.
That's
no wonder Georgia basketball sucks.
That's for baseball, Bill.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's for basketball as well.
Oh, it is? So it is.
Yeah, there's RPI in basketball.
Yeah, there's RPI in basketball.
Isn't there an RPI in football?
Who knows?
There is. Yes.
Anyways, guys, now let's move on to the topic. Andy, you know what? Andy, you haven't talked much this show. Take it over.
No, he's been quiet.
Are we going to talk about the Braves or are we going to talk about the Dogs baseball? What do you want to talk about?
We've already done Dogs baseball.
Let's talk about the Braves.
Take us to the Braves.
Bill, thank you. I asked you on your show the other day if I should be concerned at all about Max Fried, and you said no. And then he went out and he had another bad start. His spring stats are not great. I'm still on the he's going to win the Cy Young train, but his spring stats, and he's only got 9 strikeouts. That's what's concerning me a little bit. Should I be concerned or should no. Okay.
I mean, you know what? You can't get too excited about spring stats that are good. I mean, I said until Thursday that Smith wasn't going to give up an earned run the entire year, and then he gives up 2 yesterday to break that string. And you can't get too worried about spring stats that are bad. So you have, you know, when the bell rings, something changes and it doesn't matter anymore. Those stats go out the door. So there's no reason to believe he's got any injury or anything. They work on stuff. That's the thing. They work on different things. I'm going to throw only my curveball today, or I'm going to throw my fastball or four seamer. You know, he's fine. And from all accounts, Brian Snicker was on the show the other day and said Max looks really good and everything's good with him. So, yeah, I don't think there's any reason. There's no reason to be worried about anything right now, knock on wood. I mean, they've had a great camp. I was looking today at MLB trade rumors and seeing all these things that these teams are going through trying to get their roster settled. Like, hell, the Braves had their roster settled last Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, that never happens when you're 8 days before. I mean, they told Forrest Wall he's made the team, and I thought they would wait and see if they had any possible additions to make. Well, I mean, they told him he made the team, so he's made the team.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had that good of a spring where it's like their roster was pretty much settled a week before opening day. So it's a great roster. They've had a really good spring as far as things are. You know, like today, Paul, I watched just a bits and pieces of today. And Andy, and you know, Andy, you may have heard Snicker say on Friday that Dylan Dodd had been one that had really done well. Yeah. So he came into the game today and I watched him. He gave up a run, but man, he looked really good. He looked better than last year. And so those are the things you look for in spring training. You know, is this a kid that if we need to call someone up from AAA, can he help us better than last year when he had an ERA of 7? Well, I think he can. And if for Snicker to say that and then to see what I saw today with that slider that looked really good, I mean, those are the kind of things you look for in spring training. There are times where, you know, I know this is 42 years ago, but I remember when Joe Torre took over the Braves in 1982, they needed to win with a new manager. See, Joe Torre was the Braves manager before he went to the Yankees.
Did he play for the Braves?
He played for the Braves.
I know he did. I'm making sure Paul knows.
Baseball-reference.com. Yeah, he was the first Braves catcher. He's in the Braves Hall of Fame. But they were trying to become a winning team. So he told them that spring, I want us to win in spring training. Well, they were 18-6, and then they won their first 13 games of the season. Well, then it matters. You know, this team, you're just trying to get ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was when Snit was talking about the depth of pitching. That was, you know, like I've kind of been on the train of Ronaldo Lopez as the fifth starter. And I think that's kind of where you've been currently, right? But stay away, dear.
Yeah, I know. So I know.
Is that where you've been? Ronaldo Lopez is the guy currently. And then if something were to change, he can transition back to the bullpen role?
Yes. I think that's how you look at it. They're going to start with him, like Snicker said. See where he goes, see how far he can go. Maybe he stays here the whole year if he stays healthy. Maybe he's fine all the way through. But if not, they'll have option 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the minor leagues. And, you know, another thing I mentioned with Snit when he was on with me the other day is, you know, years past, he and I would sit in spring training and talk about the front five of the rotation. Now you have to think about the front five and the back five.
Yeah.
Because you have to have more than five. You have to have others behind that. And that's what I think they have in Gwinnett with Dylan Dodd and Bryce Elder and A.J. Smith-Shawver and Alan Winans, you know, Hoskar Noah, perhaps.
Darius Vines, yeah, that's going to be.
Yep, Darius Vines. I mean, they got six right there if you count Noah, who's got to build up, of course, because he's coming back from Tommy John. Then Waldrop will probably be a double ace. Those are seven arms that you, if you need help, you can go and count on your farm system first.
I've got a question, and this might make me a bad fan. I don't know. I love the Braves, but I cannot watch a spring training game. Is that okay?
No, I'm with you. I'm the same way. I can't do that.
Like, I mean, love the Braves.
I do the same thing. I'm with you, Paul. I do the same thing. I pull it up and look at the stats and see how they're doing.
Yeah, I'm a stat guy during spring training.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I want to ask Neil, and then I want to ask you guys. Did y'all, when y'all were in high school, did y'all ever, like, make out your lineups while the teacher's up there talking about God only knows what in social studies, but you're making your Braves lineup?
Okay. Where are you going with this, though?
Well, I didn't think y'all did that because I'm one that
– Wow.
Okay. I want to watch spring because I want to see what Dodd, because when Snit was on Bill's show Friday, he specifically called out Dodd, and because I was like, I thought he would say Waldrop. I said, my question was, who's most impressive that's not Shawver or Waldrop? And I thought he would go, you know, I thought he would go deep, someone, you know, just we hadn't really thought much about. And he said
went right to Dodd.
Yeah, that's right. And that was, to me, eye-opening.
That was so news.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, look at
him. He pitched four innings today. I mean, he went four innings today. That's what he did. But I think spring training, you're right, Paul. I'm with you 100%. I mean, it's stupid. I don't watch the games. I look at the lineup.
I feel like it goes on a little too long. It's a little too long.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just too much, right? But you look at the stats and you see what people are doing. And Andy and I have talked about it numerous times. Jared Kelnick stinks, right? I mean, we made a mistake. He's awful. He's not doing anything. He's got, what, two hits over 41 at-bats. But to me, Jared Kelnick is a perfect example of why spring training matters. Okay, because he has been struggling. He's done something recently with his coaches in spring training. He's starting to hit the ball, and he's starting to mash the ball. He did it twice today. He just missed a home run. There you go. He's figured something out in spring training. He's going to be a different player come Thursday when they play the Philadelphia Phillies, I promise you.
Yeah. With that being said, what Vic, as a good host always does, goes right into a question about something that you just brought up. Andy Adams says, what player concerns you the most performance-wise this coming season? Andy, we'll start with you, and then we'll work our way around.
Well, up until last week, I would probably said Kelnick just because he wasn't doing a lot. But like Eddie mentioned, this past week, his swing.
He's not your guy. Okay.
He would be like of the starting nine, probably would be the one that I'm questioning the most right now, because I think everybody else is just going to mash the ball. I don't think there's a hole in the lineup. You might would look at Arcia as the potential maybe to come back down a little. For me, I'm just not seeing a hole right now, so I'm really not too concerned with that batting order.
So no player concerns you right now. Okay, got it.
If we're talking just batting, just hitting, no, I'm
but. No. You can talk about anybody on the 26. I think he didn't specify.
Yeah, he said what player.
Yeah, he didn't specify.
I wouldn't say anything concerns me. I think I'm curious to see if Andy's boy Arcia can put up a respectable OBP number.
Yeah,
because I know Andy's got Arcia posters on his wall because of how good his OBP numbers are. I'm being sarcastic here, but I want for Arcia to be a little bit more consistent this year. You know, defensively, he's really good. So I think other than that, I don't have a whole lot of concerns about anything with this team. I really don't. I mean, this is like looking at Georgia's defensive depth chart.
Yeah. Eddie?
I think my one concern, you're probably going to yell at me. I know Bill probably will. Marcelo Ozuna. I know he's a DH, so it's kind of a small part of the lineup, but I just don't see him continuing to go up. I think he's kind of going to start to go down, and that's my concern.
Why? Why do you feel like he'll go down?
He's getting older. I just don't think he can continue to replicate what he's done. He is getting older, Bill. I mean, that's part of the deal.
You and your wife's been worried about you going down.
Have I? No, I haven't lost my fastball yet, right? So it's probably a little, yeah.
You got more like a splitter, maybe.
But he's so up and down, Bill. I mean, the beginning of last season, we all wanted him cut and traded. Right.
But he had a bad month of April from May 2nd.
That's what concerns me about him. He's either way up here or way down here.
That's baseball, though.
I don't know. There's a middle. He had
40 home runs and 100 RBI. Go look at his numbers after May 2nd.
I know that. If I'd asked you that after 3 months last year, you'd have said you'd wanted him out of here because he was garbage.
I was the one who was saying be patient with him.
You might have been the only one.
I said he had a good spring training. They feel good about him. They were shocked with how slow he started the year, and then boom, he took off. I mean, May 2nd, he hit the
ground. I think you're alone in that, though. I really do.
Well, that's why
you would snicker. You would snicker. Right? I'll give you credit. Y'all were right.
Look, for me, it's the fifth starter. Fifth starter, you guys are hyping up Ronaldo Lopez. I want to see if he can do it the whole season. That's what I want to see.
Is that because you want your boy Bryce Elder back?
Yeah, look.
I got it.
I feel like he got a kind of a raw deal, but whatever.
ERA of 7 will give you a raw deal.
It's AAA. It's just spring training though. Nobody watches it. Just let's act like it didn't happen. Bring him back, and he'll be fine.
I hope he'll get on track.
Robert Cook says, Bill, do you think Waldrop gets called up at any point in the season?
Well, look, again, there's a long list of people who are kind of the backup options. But here's the thing about Alex Anthopoulos. He's going to put the one up there who he feels gives this team the best chance to win. If Waldrop goes to double A, or I don't know, maybe they do start him in triple A, but I doubt it. And if Waldrop just shows, good gosh, he's ready. You always hear, these kids will tell you when they're ready. That may be the case for a couple of them this year, like Elder. If Elder goes back and dominates AAA, what are you going to do with him if there's no room in Atlanta? But still, I think if Waldrop dominates, and that could happen. But like in spring training, it's like these people have never seen that pitch. Waldrop has probably the best pitch beyond Spencer's. Well, Spencer's fastball, Max's curveball, and Waldrop's splitter is probably the third best pitch of anybody in this organization, maybe even better than Chris Sale's slider.
How fast did Strider go through the minor leagues?
He went pretty quick. I mean, he had a full year. He had a full season, but he was coming off of Tommy John surgery at Clemson, where he didn't have a full year his last year before he got drafted. So, but I mean, I think whoever does show, well, first of all, they're going to have a need, right? So the need might be, oh gosh, we need to skip somebody. Well, who's pitching better at AAA? Or it might be, whose day is it to start? You know, it might be something as similar to that. But yes, I think to answer the question, could Waldrop help the team if needed this year? Yes, that could happen. No question.
Wow. I think a better question, really, can I ask this question? Who's the first one called up? Because there's gonna be an issue.
Look, I think to answer this, I'm not the Braves expert, Bill is. I think it's kind of depends on, is it a spot start needed, or do we need to bring him up for 3 weeks? You know, I think that probably, if it's a spot start, maybe Dodd, you know, but if it's a guy we need to bring it for 3 weeks, probably, maybe
it's Elder, hard to quantify. Almost. Yeah, that's fair. Right. That's fair. Yeah. So,
I think you're right, Paul, because I think we could think, all right, well, they're going to call Elder up because he was an all-star last year. He made 30 starts. Right. If it's a spot start, it may be whose time was it to pitch on Wednesday when they need the guy.
Right. Right. Chet Summers over on the X app says, what should we expect from Duvall coming back 1 year, $3 million?
Well, Duvall and Kelnick are going to platoon. So Duvall is not a straight platoon splits guy where he does better against lefty pitchers, but there's no doubt the power will be there. I'm anxious to see what the lineup's going to be with Duvall in it. We've already seen that with Kelnick in it, Kelnick's at 9 and Duvall's at, I mean, rather Harris is at 6. And then the catcher, and then
RC. Oh, yeah. You can't put Duvall 9.
No, they'll probably put him, 7 and stagger the lineup a little bit, I would imagine, behind Harris, and then go with that. So, yeah, I think, unless Kelnick proves he needs to play every day, Duvall's going to get chances against left-handed pitchers and perhaps, mix and match when he has good numbers against a particular right-handed pitcher. But I think Duvall is – I think it's a good situation. I really do. It's a fallback situation. And if something happens and Kelnick flops, can you go with Duvall? Sure. And he's for $3 million. That's about the best deal in baseball all offseason, to be honest with you.
Here's here's another one from our boy Shoot'em. We hadn't seen him all chat. Here he is showing up nice. Shoot'em 556 says, I hope Charlie Morton still has it. He's getting old. He could be one that, if you're looking at the lineup, I mean, because you're expecting 200 innings out of him. You're hoping, right? And he can just eat some innings for you. That's an interesting pick there.
That's a tall task for a 40-year-old. That's a tall task.
Yeah, I think – well, he had about 180 last year. And I
was going to say he was close to it last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know how – bad thing is, Paul, I don't know if 200 innings is for anybody. I think that's a good point. I think you could say, is Charlie just going to run out of gas at some point? Now, when I watched him the other day, it looked like the curveball was good. He's one of those, I think they feel, and that's a little bit different now that he's 40 after this year, maybe a little bit different. But, with the option, I think they thought, we can bring him back and get, he's worth $20 million to us, I really believe. And I think Charlie is one of those, you kind of let him go until he gives out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And until he shows you signs of giving out of gas, you kind of keep on going with him because there's not many people who are that dependable, and he's been fairly dependable. I know he got hurt late last year with the finger and so forth, but still he's, as he's gotten older, he's been even more dependable. So
he had 30 starts last year with a 3.64 ERA.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't beat that.
And a finger is not an old man issue, by the way.
No, that's weird.
That was a fluke. It's not. I don't have a finger issue. I can tell you right now.
James Caraway says Charlie's built different. That arm is rubber. So pretty much like you were saying, Bill. While we're wrapping this up, guys, you got just a few more minutes before you guys leave, because I don't know, you don't want to watch the end of the show for whatever reason. Rumors versus Facts is coming on tonight at 8:30. Special time. Lot to talk about on the recruiting front. Roddy will be there. Jed will be there. I think Trent will be there. We'll have Lance there. We'll have the whole recruiting show for you to talk about what's happening in recruiting today. Yeah.
Why aren't you going to be on that show, Paul Meharry? Who the hell are you?
Yeah, I just
he's
like
with us, here. Bill. Yeah, he's with the like, real show.
I like just being here with the boys on Sunday, kicking it. You know,
I want to be on that show. I want to hear what they have to say about that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That Andy, how's that make you feel, buddy?
Look, hey, he's with us right now, so that's all that matters.
I want to see where I can see my NIL money to get that kid from Warner Robins back.
I think I'm going to call the Bill Shanks show tomorrow and say I think I'd rather be on another show. That's what I'm going
to
say.
I thought
tomorrow
Mondays were when you listen to Chuck and Chernoff anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'd just say I'd rather be on the Chuck and Chernoff show. Like that's what I'll say tomorrow.
Mike Free says aloha from Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. So we've had Pearl Harbor. We've had a lot call in tonight.
How about that?
James Carraway says they're working to keep my membership on recruiting tonight. Good to hear. Jermaine King. Jermaine loves when we go long. So Jermaine is all about the doubleheader tonight. We appreciate it. Real quick before we go, guys. Braves winning the East, yes?
Yes.
Braves winning first round playoff, yes?
Yes.
Braves winning championship series, NLCS?
Yes.
Braves winning World Series.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? Look, I don't think you have any idea, obviously, about what's going to be going on 6 months from now. You know, when it's September 24th, how good are they going to be playing? How strong will the pitching be? There's no reason to think that this roster cannot be in position to make that come true. Yes, 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 yes. I think they're the best team in the National League East. I think they're the best team in the National League. I don't see a team in the American League that really is better than they are on paper, which is all we can go about right now. But you know what? I want us to kind of enjoy these next 6 months because we're going to have a lot of entertaining baseball. They won 104 games last year, and they averaged 5.8 runs per game, and it was a nightly show because they just put on a show for us all the time, and it was entertaining as hell. So we need to enjoy this and then hope in 6 months they're ready to go, and they can be in that position. But, I mean, I don't see why not.
I'll be the Debbie Downer here. Can they win the division? I have no idea. Can they win the NLCS? I have no idea. Can they win the World Series? I have no idea. Go out and beat the Phillies this weekend. That's what you got to focus on. Bill, you say it all the time, 162 games. There's so much, I'm not going to say crap that can happen during that year. You just have no idea. No clue what's going to – hell, the Phillies might not even make it, and we may win the division and play somebody, and the Phillies may be out, right? And that's been our nemesis the past 2 years. Who knows, right? Or we could go in as a wild card team. Who knows? It's just beat the Phillies this weekend. That's all I care about.
I say it every year that 41 years ago, they had a show that looked back on the 1982 Braves, and the title of that show is It's a Long Way to October.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a long way to October. It's something that I say every April, regardless if you go 0-12 or 12-0 or whatever, it's a long way to October. And yeah, we have no clue. Is this a team that can do the things we want them to do? Sure.
Yes.
The great teams that, I mean, look at there's been plenty. Look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers fans can say even more than we can about how we've had all these great teams. We've only won one World Series, and it was the year of COVID. It was a truncated season. You never know what can happen in baseball. You never know who can get hot. You never know what injuries you'll have. I mean, the Braves have had bad luck the last 2 years with pitching injuries. Mm-hmm. They've obviously wet the bed last year, but they also had some bad luck. Who's going to have the good luck this year? Who's going to have the hero this year? That's what they've got to have. But as far as a personnel, are they good? Are they as good as anybody or better than anybody? There's no question in my mind this is the best team in baseball.
The talent is there.
Yep. On this.
Bill, have you ever – and seriously, I'm asking you, try to be in non-bias. Is this the most excited you've ever been going into a Braves season with what we have coming up?
Well, let me answer it this way. I think this is the best roster leaving training camp I've ever seen them have.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. I really do. I think it is a great 1-26. I don't think you can have a better roster than what they've got right now.
Wow.
And speaking of better rosters, I don't think you can have a better roster than the one we put together tonight. Thank you so much. You like that, Bill? Look at that. Just boom.
I thought you were going to say we can have a better roster than the one coming up with Roddy and all the boys that make more money than we do.
No, I was hitting us out of the park. Okay. So, guys, we appreciate Bill Shanks for joining us. He's always a great friend of the show, and we appreciate you spending time with us. Like I said, guys, just a few minutes and a minute from now. So, literally, refresh your UGA Sports YouTube. The boys will be on for Rumors versus Facts. We appreciate you so much for staying with us. And before you leave out, like the video. We won't be here next Sunday for Easter, but we'll be back the week after, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks, guys.